Welcome to the Knife Junkie Podcast, your weekly dose of knife news and information about knives and knife collecting. Here's your host, Bob the Knife Junkie DeMarco.
Welcome to the Knife Junkie Podcast. I'm your host, Bob DeMarco. Coming up on this edition of the show, I'm speaking with Diane Carver, Christy McClellan, and Katie Meekum of Brighton Blades. After 20 years of traveling the globe, developing knives for some of the top knife companies, Diane Carver started Brighton Blades, bringing folding knives and accessories to the feminine side of the market. Now, we're not talking cheap pink knives. We're talking folding blades designed from the ground up for women by women. I got my wife and two daughters their own keychain knives from Brighton at Blade Show this year, each with its own separate theme. And I, of course, chose according to personality. And these things are very, very stout little knives. I'm actually surprised for the size of these little keychain knives. My wife keeps hers on her desk to keep her centered whilst working. And, my daughters have them wherever they have them. I don't know. I don't go into their rooms. I love a good family knife business story here on the show, but this will be the first mother-daughter's knife team we featured on the show. And we have two-thirds of the daughters with us, happily. I look forward to finding out all about Brighton Blades and the team. But first, be sure to like, comment, subscribe, hit the notification bell, and download the show to your favorite podcast app. And as always, you can join us on Patreon if you like what we do here. Quickest way to do that is thenifejunkie.com/Patreon. Again, that's thenifejunkie.com/Patreon.
The Get Upside app is your way to get cash back on your gas purchases. Get Upside is an app you put on your smartphone, and whenever you need to get gas, search your area for savings, claim your discount, fill up your tank, and then take a picture of the receipt with your phone. And that's it. You've just got cash back. Visit thenifejunkie.com/save on gas to get the app and start saving. Again, that's thenifejunkie.com/save on gas.
You're listening to the Knife Junkie Podcast.
Diane, Christy, Katie, welcome to the Knife Junkie Podcast.
Thanks for having me.
It's really good to have you here. Katie, I realized I didn't ask for the pronunciation of your name before I read my intro, so I hope I didn't butcher it.
Oh, you nailed it.
I should have just kept my mouth shut, as usual. Anyway, it's real good to have you here, and I want to congratulate you all on the launching of Brighton Blades. It's a very unique knife company, and I've been excited to have you here to talk about it. Christine Hartman of Women Carry Knives. I know she introduced me, to one of you. I just don't remember who it was. And, I'm really, really glad she did.
We are too. We love Christine and we're really excited to be here.
All right. So I got to know, how did you get the idea, Diane, to start a knife company, like Brighton Blades?
Well, I've been in the knife industry for a lot of years. And so, one thing that I recognize that there's not a lot of is knives that are designed for women. But we wanted something that was going to be unique. And so it was kind of hard to come up with an idea that was different than just making a pink. Because there are pink knives out there, but not anything that's specifically designed for women. And so we came up with the idea. This kind of happened, a lot of it, in 2020. And we came up with the idea that we wanted something that was more than just a tool, but also put a smile on the user's face. And so we started putting a list of positive words together. And we'd each add to it, you know, peace and hope and love and dream and faith and all of the things that are important to us. And we decided that we would combine that. You got to forgive me, Bob. I've got a bit of laryngitis going on, so... Yeah. I might have them talk a little bit more than they usually do. But we really wanted to put that into the knife. And we have positive quotes that go along with it. We can talk a little bit about it.
So my mom had wanted to do this for quite a while, and she'd come to us with this idea of making knives for women. But it wasn't until a little bit later that she got the idea to make the inspirational line. And kind of when 2020 hit, things were rough for everyone. I mean, everybody kind of had a little bit different situations, but it wasn't an easy time, as you know. And so when she had this idea to make them inspirational, we love this. You know, like she said, there's brave. And not only did we put the name on the cases, but we actually engraved the words on the blade.
Anyway.
But yeah, they each have two inspirational sayings. Like, bravery is not the absence of fear. Bravery is feeling the fear, the doubt, the insecurity, and deciding that something else is more important.
Yes.
So they each come with a different word engraved on the case and a different quote that goes with them. You know, just reminding you that, you know, when times are hard, one of ours is resilient, and that's one of our favorites, actually. The quote on that one is, note to self, every time you were convinced you couldn't go on, you did. And so we just want people to not only have a functional tool that, you know, helps them throughout their day, but also spread a bit of positivity. When times are rough, just remember, be brave, be resilient, have hope, have faith, believe in yourself, you know, be happy, dream. And so we just want to share that positivity with everyone.
We felt that if it's pretty, then you're going to keep it with you. Like, women will like to keep it. It makes you happy. You're going to have it. And if you have it with you, you have it when you need it. That if you get a knife as a gift and it's not something that women want to carry, they throw it in the drawer, they don't have it when they need it. Mm-hmm. But if it's something that it's pretty, that we enjoy to reach for, have it, it'll be more useful.
Well, okay, so I got a couple of questions here, but first, I really like the idea of the different words defining your brand as you were building it, especially considering with knives, you know, we think of self-reliance, we think of a lot of, we think of a lot of words, but you mentioned some words that we might not think of. Peace. A lot of times, you know, I have a lot of weapons on the wall behind me. I love them, for their historical, you know, value and such. And I wouldn't put peace with any of those, but, knives to knife collectors are things that do bring peace, because we sit there, we fidget with them, we calm down, we think about things while we're playing with our knives. We also love the feeling of using the knives and knowing that we can count on ourselves to open that box. You know what I'm saying? Whatever it is, knife equals self-reliance, and women need knives just as much as men. There's no, I read on your About Us page that you were saying you were tired of always asking your husbands for their pocket knives. And you're like, what are we doing? We already have the knife gene, you know?
Exactly. Well, I'm not going to lie. At least in my situation, the one that's ordering the most, like, boxes being shipped to my house from Amazon or wherever, is me. So I'm the one opening them all. So they're just great to have on hand, everyday use. And the nice thing about these is they each come with a carrying case, the full-size ones that you can throw in your backpack or your purse. And the keychain ones, you always have your keys on you, so they're there whenever you're, you know, wherever you are.
Well, so the obvious question is, what is a woman's knife? How do you design a knife for a woman?
Well, one thing is size. I am so sorry that I'm so coarse. But size, these certainly fit our hands well. But we wanted to make sure that they were really a good quality knife also. Not something cute that just was going to fail when you needed it. But we also wanted them to be really pretty. When we first made these, they had a satin finish on the blade, and it just didn't seem as dressy as I wanted it to. So we went back, we did a mirror polish blade, we did a mirror polish bolster, we did jewels on the thumb studs, and then Christy did all the graphics on the handles.
Oh, nice.
Having a pouch, a lot of women won't be able to put knives in their pockets because either they don't have pockets or they don't have enough room in them. Yeah. And so that's why we created the pouches, so that they could be thrown in someplace and keep it protected and nice. Once again, thinking of women, and our keychains, like you have, it has the carabiner clip on it, so it's easy on, easy off. So if you're going to a concert, you can take it off and you can always keep it on handy. Some of those things that we think of every day that would make it easier for us to enjoy.
Well, and part of the reason that carabiner clip, I don't seem to have one out right now, is where she said the easy on and off. But for me, I've always had long fingernails. And so a regular, you know, keychain, you're twisting it, and I can't tell you how many fingernails I've broken. So we actually made sure we played around with different ways to get the knife onto the keychain. And the carabiner clip is the one that we came up with that works for, right. You know.
The split ring with nice nails. Yeah, right. That's murder, right? I would imagine. But not something I would have thought of off the bat, you know? So you do all of the, Christy, you do all of the graphics on these blades. Tell me about how you come up with the ideas for them and how they, for instance, I have the, when you look at a field of dandelions, you can either see hundreds of weeds or thousands of wishes. Now, I got this one specifically for my wife because she is always, even when it's not in her heart at the moment, she is always there for my girls in terms of teaching them to be positive and to look at the positive in things. And so I got this for her because that's something she would say. Yeah, you could look at dandelions as weeds or you could look at them as wishes, you know. So obviously you did dandelions on here, but tell me about the other sayings and the artwork and how you started interpreting these concepts in art.
Honestly, so we came, like she said, we sat down and we came up with, you know, the words that were important to us. We each came up with a different list and kind of did all the ones that we wanted to do. I just kind of came up with ideas. Honestly, a lot of them are meaningful to us. So this one is my mom's favorite one. This is the hope one. And this one is our breast cancer. It's got the breast cancer logo on there. But that is special to us because my mom's mom and her sister passed away from breast cancer at early ages. And with this one, we give back every October for the nights, the hope nights that are sold. We go to the happy one. My husband loves Paisley. Like, it makes him happy. Like, he is always wearing Paisley. Like, always. He's known for it. So we did that one. I got Wit or Dream is this other one. Dream. Stars were really special to us, actually. When we were dating, we would sit out and look at the stars. And one of our favorite constellations was Cassiopeia. So I made sure to put that on there. But honestly, they were just things that were important to us. Some of them are just cute, kind of went with the theme. But each of them, they were all fun to design. It actually worked out really well. When my mom wanted to start this company, Katie and I don't really, we haven't been in the knife world. My mom's been in it forever, and my sister Kimmy works with my mom with Fox Knives. But Katie and I really didn't have a lot to do with knives until then. But I had gone back to school to get my degree, and I had actually gone into kind of a graphic design degree. So that worked out really well. So that's why I do the graphics. I do all the packaging for our cases and stuff. And then Katie, she's our writer. So she used to work for the newspaper. She's really good at writing. So that's her kind of thing. Kimmy does sales. Her degree was in sales, and my mom clearly takes her knife knowledge. So we each have our own little expertise. So
that's great because you're not stepping on each other's toes, I would imagine. Oh, there's probably some of that, but Katie, do you write the verses that we see on here? Is this part of what you do?
No, I wish that I did. I'm going to be that inspirational. We've taken a stab at it, but we looked around to find things that would be really inspirational and things that would really uplift us. I do more like on our website or when things are going out to media and stuff like that, what I do. But we love the quotes that we found for these.
Yeah, but it's that technical writing and that business writing that that does make a huge difference. I know because I've had to outsource that myself in the past. And you know, whether that's to someone else just to see if I'm being clear or hiring someone to, that is not easy kind of stuff to write. marketing stuff and that kind of stuff. You've been holding up the cases, but this is what we get in a case. We get the knife themed with the case. It goes inside. Now, what's inside the case? Can you open one of these up? I'd love to take a look. Is this something that EDC nuts can fill with all sorts of.
So these ones on our inspirational line, they just have a little loop here that the knife can go in. We do have, I can talk more about that in a minute, but we have another line, and the other line has a little pocket that you can put different.
As you were cutting out, I was saying that this one looks like something my wife would have carried. When we lived in New York, we used to live in New York City for a number of years, and we'd go out, and, you know, this was before we had children, and we'd go out, and, yeah, she'd grab, like, take a clutch or something that was just holding her hand, but she always has a knife on her, usually tucked in her waistband, but also in her bag, and that looks like something that, you know, she would have rolled with proudly.
Yeah,
Now, these ones we're really excited about. This, these ones come with our not so heavy metal line. We've got the tan, and then there's like a gray case as well. And they're like a nice suede. So they're really fun where you can put the card in, you can carry your knife, you could probably throw a chapstick or whatnot in there and just have it with you. So.
So I noticed that all of the knife colors is it in this line or in all of them? They all refer to, like, black isn't just black, it's Black Sabbath, right on. Yes. And purple isn't purple, it's Purple Rain. Mm-hmm. And all the way through cultural references, how did that come up?
Well, we had so fun with the inspirational line, you know, coming up with all of the names. And then we knew we wanted to do some that were just solid colors. And we come up with, well, now this is boring, black, purple. And we're like, what can we do to make this more fun? And it was actually Katie, our writer, you know, she's the one that came up with, she started with White Album and Green Day or a couple of them. And we're like, we like that. And so we sat around and it was super fun coming up with the names, kind of very generational, you know. Yeah. I'm coming up with the Blue Oyster Cult and some older, and they're doing Green
Day.
Exactly. So it was really fun. And it just made them, you know, something unique, set them apart just a bit, just with the color name.
Yeah, I got to say, like, I with the Blue Oyster Cult, I think I'm somewhere between the ages of all of you. So I was like, Blue Oyster Cult, yeah, I'm burning for you. And then some of the newer ones, you know, the like Green Day that the youngsters listen to these days. It resonates. You know, it makes you feel like you've already got something, you know, invested. So, Diane, I want to ask you, I want to go back a little bit and find out about your past in knives. You know, 20 years traveling the globe, working on different knife projects with different manufacturers. I know Fox was kind of chief among them. Tell me a little bit about how you got into knives and what it was that kept you there.
Well, I think one of the things, when I was growing up, my dad told me that a knife was the best gift anybody could ever get. And so I grew up with that mentality. And I just, I started working for Browning. Browning's in Morgan, Utah, where I happen to live. And so I started working there, and that's where I got involved with knives. And then Fox Knives, which if you're familiar with Fox, out of Italy, was my manufacturer that made the high-end Browning knives. Oh. And so they wanted to have more of a presence in the U.S. somewhere that people could order in the U.S., pay in the U.S., U.S. dollars, not euro, and everything. And so started working with them. And that gave me a lot more free time to be able to start writing blades. If I was working full-time for another company as a 9-to-5 job, I wouldn't have been able to start writing. And Gabriella Frati, who owns Fox, he's been super supportive of this. Wow. He has 3 daughters himself, and has been really supportive that we started a women's knife line.
Were you doing, for Browning, for instance, were you doing product development?
I was the knife product manager.
Okay, so that means you're kind of figuring out this year, people want this from Browning, and let's figure out how to give it to them?
Yes. I would work with knife designers, manufacturers, all over, you know, Japan, Spain, China, Italy, you name it, Argentina, and work with the different manufacturers and different knife designers and put together the product line, do all of the pricing, you know, choose the materials. I'm not the designer. I don't start as the basic design, but I decide what steel we want, what country of origin, what hand of material. Because generally when you get a knife design from a designer, it's either a CAD or a line drawing. And from there, you've got to go on and give the knife the personality and the function that you want that particular knife to have.
How, in a project, how would you decide what country of origin? Because I want to ask you, besides the United States, who did it best? Like, or did you go to different countries for different things? We need a crown spine. Let's take this to Italy.
Well, you do go to different countries for different things. I'm very partial to Italy. I mean, I do work for Fox Knives also, but Italy does fantastic product quality. A little plug. We've won, Fox Knives has won overall knife of the year, 3 of the last 4 blade shows. So they do outstanding quality, but you definitely go for different reasons. One thing, knives out of Italy are not affordable to everyone. I mean, they really aren't. One thing that was really important to us when we started Brighton was, besides being a really good quality knife, we wanted it something that everyone could afford. And we felt really strongly about that, especially women who'd never carried a knife before, so that they didn't, you know, hesitate to invest $30 in a product. And so,
price, quality, the being able to create the specific types. Can I show off this one now?
Ooh, that's promising. I like that.
This is something that we're really excited about, that that we created a knife with Fox Knives, that it's co-branded with them. That this one is a high-end knife. That this one is out of Italy. It is
$375.
It's $375. So it's not going to be something that that everybody has, but the people that want a really amazing karambit. We're offering this, that we want to have something, options for everyone, that we've created so many different things that, you know, going back a little bit to the not so heavy metal line, that there were so many women that would not want all of the designs. There's plenty of people that do want this. And then there were people that wanted this, that, just something that was really, really beautiful that they would love. But we have options that are in this price range. We have options that are in this price range that with the amazing, high Italian steel,
LMAX. Nice. Yeah. That karambit is a really nice, dressing up of that design. That is beautiful. And you know what? There are plenty of, I've done plenty of martial arts and have seen a lot of women use karambits. And, with training can be a great, but actually, even without training in standard grip, it can be a very good self-defense knife for just using gross motor motion and clawing at someone. I hate to put it that way, but that's what it's for, right?
It is. And, you know, we had a lot of women email us and ask us when we came out with our knives if they were for self-defense. And we said, you know, certainly any knife can be used for self-defense. Right. But that wasn't really the intention with our inspirational line. It was more packages and cookies and tags and everything. And we realized that women wanted something that they could carry for self-defense. And so we thought about it and we were like, does this make sense with Brighton? And we thought, absolutely, we're all about women empowerment and women, you know, just bringing positivity to their world. And if carrying something that's going to make them feel safe when they're out and about helps them, and we're all about that.
Yeah, my wife has been training for the Marine Corps Marathon, which as soon as she runs next week, she's disavowing marathons forever, but not running forever. But anyway, she goes running with a little two-finger karambit made by Bastinelli. I think it's made by Fox, the diagnostic. Oh. And it's a small little, and she's very well trained, but still, you know, when your adrenaline is pumping and you need to defend yourself, oftentimes we revert to our caveman or cavewoman instincts and just kind of not flail, but you know what I'm saying? Use our gross motor motions, and that kind of knife is good for that. And I also like the fact that you cannot make I'm glad that you are not making a, knife company for women that doesn't acknowledge that possibility or acknowledge that sector of the knife market and how valuable it could be for a woman.
Thank you. I appreciate that comment because that's how we felt. And I wanted to offer what we considered the ultimate, you know, self-defense knife for women.
Well, and knowing that a lot of women wouldn't know how to use a karambit, we didn't. Christy and I don't. Kimmy was here. Yeah. Our younger sister Kimmy is amazing.
But what we did is we went ahead and we had one of the best knife fighters in the world. He flies all over the world and does trainings. His name's Jared Wahongi.
Oh, yeah. Yes. He's the best. He's awesome. I love Jared Wihongi. I don't know him personally, but I watch his videos constantly. Yeah.
Yeah. So we actually just did a series of training videos with the Karambit, actually. They're broken down into small segments, teaching different styles, how you can protect yourself with them. And we'll be having some of those on our website as well, so that people, you know, that want something, but they're like intimidated by it. You know, they don't know how to use it, or maybe they do, but they just want to learn a few more steps, get a little bit better at it. They can go on our website and kind of get some ideas there of how they can protect themselves. He really liked this one too. One thing I don't know if she noted or mentioned, but it's made out of carbon fiber. So it's a lot lighter than a lot of other karambits. And that's what, especially the blade show, anybody that would pick this up was actually really impressed with how light these are with that carbon fiber.
Yeah, it's carbon fiber and titanium. So two lightweight, extremely durable materials.
Christy, can you flip that over so I can see the show side? Okay, so it's all carbon fiber on the show side, and the clip is on the proper side for proper deployment, especially with the wave you got on there. And then when you flip it over, the ring, which is titanium, right, continues around to the back part of that of the lock side scale. That is a very cool design. I mean, I like the way you did that and the way the use of the titanium is minimized, you know, and like you said, titanium is light, but it's still a metal. And,
well, we did the three cool colors, but they're subtle, you know. Yeah. We did do these for women's self-defense, but we sell as many to guys as we do women of these. They're like, we're tired of everything being black. Yeah. I love that purple color. You know, and we get a kick out of that. We like that they like it too.
So I'm looking at purple on the left, anodized, and in the center, it's kind of a gold. Is that right?
It's a greenish gold.
Greenish gold.
It's really interesting because these, they're interesting because like when you turn it one way, it looks a little bit more green. Another one, we have this thing that we ask everyone. Some people think it's green. Some people think it's gold. So Katie calls it grold, and we're not really set on that. She loves to call it grold. So
I like it. I mean, because you don't have to guess with grold. You know, right? Exactly. You know exactly what that's all about. What?
Yeah.
So okay. So I was thinking about the color of them. And the fact that, yeah, people are tired of seeing the same old black and silver. And I noticed that a couple of years back, blue started coming into things. Oh, look, a blue knife. Wow, what is that for cops? Like, what's this all about? And then, I feel like Spyderco did a lot of that early on and introduced color, introduced a wider variety of colors. But you're incorporating prints. Which I think is really interesting. Most people probably don't know this, but I used to work in the fashion industry when I lived in New York, and I was a video editor for a company that covered the industry. I wasn't designing, wasn't like making clothes or anything like that, but I worked for a video production outfit, and I started to really look at fashion. It's interesting to see how these crazy designs that come out at the beginning of the year or whatever, eventually make their way into general population with, oh, I saw that blue color and that one kind of print that I'm now seeing at the Gap, but I saw that, you know, on that Paris runway show I edited. So it's interesting just to see how things can filter into the culture. And prints here, I think that's got to be a next idea because, you know, we got color now.
Yeah, our knives definitely stand out, and that's what makes us happy. We try to, you know, share what we like, and we hope that other people like. And they've been really well received. We're really excited with all of it. So,
well, where are these made? The little keychain knives. Are all your knives made in the same? Well, obviously not. The Karambit is a higher tier of product and production. So that we know that that's made in Italy. That's a Fox knife, I think. What about these?
They are made in China.
These are made in China.
Yeah.
One thing, my experience working in the industry 20 years, I know exactly what each factory's capabilities are and who would be the best to take certain projects to. And the owner of this company that's making these in China, his wife owns a design company. She's very, very into design work and everything. And so I knew she'd get what we were trying to do. So I chose them specifically because of his wife's design work that I knew she did, so that her and Christy could work back and forth and come up with, you know, the colors that we thought would look cool. And we tweaked these a lot. We did brave in gray, and we did lots of different color variations to end up choosing which ones we really liked the best at the end of the day. So our not so heavy metal line is made by a manufacturer in China, a different one than makes our inspirational. And then Fox, these are co-branded. I don't know if you saw that, but it has the Brighton on one side and the Fox on the other.
Oh, nice.
So you get both logos. And then, oh yeah, show them.
Well, that's a nice problem to have.
We have a really cute case. In fact, we'll show you this. This has the old logo. Our new one actually has both Fox and Brighton. It's really cute. I changed that. But our Karambas actually do come with pairing cases. You don't have to buy those separately. But they come with those. And then, yeah.
Little Allen wrench and everything in case you...
Oh, I think putting the tool in there is so polite. I love that. Hey, with these, though, I want to talk about these for a quick second because they're surprisingly smooth and smooth for the size. Like, they operate like a very nice frame lock folder of a much larger size. So I'm interested that they miniaturize these so well. And they're so stout and sturdy. Is this a steel frame lock? This got to be steel, right?
It's aluminum.
Oh, it's aluminum. So that's the thing. I was like, I didn't know you could make an aluminum frame lock, and it feels so light. I assumed it was steel, but I was going to ask you how you got it so light. But okay, you got it light by picking aluminum. Beautifully centered. It's got the jewels on the posts here, and yeah, very. This is a really cool knife. But I think for me, I'm looking more towards the larger bolstered knives with the long spear point. If you want to save 15% on any of these Brighton blades for yourself or for gifts. Diane was kind enough to give me this Junkie15 discount code on their website. So definitely check that out. Thank you very much. That was really generous.
Thank you guys.
So this, was it this past year, 2021, you, Diane, accepted the Most Innovative Knife Award design for the Fox, what was it called? I played with it as much as I could before the next guy took it from me.
The Saturn. Yep. That was really fun for us because, you know, usually we're there at the award ceremonies, but Gabriella, who owns Fox Knives in Italy, he's there and goes up and gets the award. Well, due to COVID, they couldn't come. And so my daughter, Kimmy, and I got to go accept the awards, and it won the best imported design, and then it won overall knife of the year. And we carried those trophies around with us all night long. They didn't even get us to set them down, you know, so it was fun.
Were you a part of the team that brought that to market?
I would love to say yes.
Okay.
But as far as bringing the idea to market, no. As far as helping to bring it to the U.S. to make it available for sales, yes.
Well, yeah, that's exactly what I'm asking. Well, you brought the knife to us. Thank you. I actually don't have one, but I played with it quite a while. I'm a sucker for a dagger, and I love the idea of a folding dagger. And there are only a couple true folding daggers out there with the double edge and the whole nine yards. And
we joke that has got to be like a fidget spinner for adults because once you start playing with that mechanism, you can't stop, you know, you can just sit and play with it all day. For the people who haven't tried it, both Radius and Saturn have that patented mechanism where you push it in and rotate it with your thumb, and it's a lot of fun.
It follows a track, like a semicircular track. And yeah. I'm being totally honest, when I saw it, I was like, what, you know, like, okay, let me check this out. And that is one of those things where feeling is believing. I picked it up and I'm like, oh, I get it. Immediately, you know, it would definitely be something that would.
Well, and one of the cool things about Saturn is it's ambidextrous. You can get left-handed ones also. And that's a big deal. I didn't realize. I never even thought how hard it is for left-handed people to even just shut a liner lock.
Yeah, there are a lot of people out there who bemoan the fact that a lot of manufacturers drill the holes on the lefty side for lefties to use, but you know, if you're not going to, you know, if you're not going to make a left-handed version, the least you could do is give them the holes. Now, I must admit, I'm one of those guys who's been like, these unsightly holes, but but still, you gotta give, you know, people an option. So in your day-to-day operations, working in a knife company, is this something, are you doing things that could be, that are scalable to other jobs, or do you both have like knife DNA? Is knife in your blood?
Well, so our maiden name, my mom's last name is Carver. So I think, you know, we grew up with knives in our blood. It, kind of like we said before, like we are new, like we've had knives in our lives for all growing up, that my mom would give us knives for every occasion and everything. But as far as what our background has been, not so much, but I don't know. It's been so fun to work together that we all live really close to each other, that we've stayed really close, that we want to be together. And so it's been really fun to work on this together and, you know, bring our kids closer together through it. And that they're all friends and stuff, that I don't know. One thing that's kind of fun with our kids, Christy has four boys. My little sister Kimmy has four girls, and they have two in each. Not that that matters anything, but it's just kind of fun with our families.
And they get to help out a lot, you know, when we get big shipments in, if we need things done. You know, I have a son that needs, or sometimes he loves to help package up orders and stuff. And so it's just been fun to all work together and have it a family business. So.
Yeah, that's one of the things, like I've said, I love to hear family businesses, but something you just said, Katie, about keeping people close and keeping people together. It's like when you have a mission as a family that's beyond just staying together and being a family and making it work. I don't know. It seems, and I don't have the experience of running a business with my family, but just kind of talking over and over to people, it is something that brings them closer together, because there's a lot of, well, it's perilous. It's not easy to start a company, especially a knife company, and to make it work. And so you got your highs and your lows, and together you can make that work. I have two daughters that I never knew what the term worry meant until I had them, you know. And one of the things I worry about, among a trillion others, is like, are they going to always be this close? Will they be close when they're older? And I'm not saying I'm going to start a knife company to keep them close, but something like this sort of coordinated effort, I don't know. It's helpful. It seems like it's helpful to the family and also to the company. How do you think the family dynamic helps the company grow?
Well, one, we know how to get along, and we also know how to fight and get over it. Just kidding, kind of. No, but I think that we've worked together on things throughout our whole lives, so that we know, like, oh, Kimmy, you would be really good at this. Remember that time that you did this one thing? Or, you know, Christy, you know, can you do that again? Or, you know, that we already know each other's strengths. We already know each other's weaknesses, so that we can be there to back each other up and everything. But,
well, and like we talked about earlier, is we do have such varied talents, you know. I mean, I could no more do the graphics that Christy does or write what Katie does, but I know steel types and I know locking mechanisms and all of that kind of stuff. And so we each bring something different to the table. And we were just so lucky the way that that worked out. I mean, even to our packaging, Christy designed all of our packaging. One thing that was so fun was when we did the blade show in Atlanta, people were coming up, other knife companies, and asking us who did your packaging, because they really liked it and wanted to use them. Nice. And we're like, we did, you know, we've done everything from the ground up, even all of our packaging. So we just were really lucky with the how varied our talents are.
None of us had, 20 years ago when we all set into our motion of what we wanted to do in life, we didn't have this dream. We didn't have this goal. I started writing for the newspaper when I was 17 in high school, and I graduated in sales. And, you know, if years back, Christy went back and got her graphic design, that we didn't have any idea this was going to happen. And then as we started getting into it, it was just like, I don't know, but it was just meant to be
together.
That it was just meant to be, that our lives came together to be able to create this and work together.
We need to have a fourth sister that's
in the county.
Good at math in the county.
Hey, you can't have it all. My God. Yeah, you might have to hire that sister.
That's our goal.
But it's like it's like you have built-in institutional knowledge. That's like one of those catchwords that I hear. But it's like you already know each other so well that you can skip a whole number of layers probably in dealing with certain situations that come through as a business. As a business, how do you consider? I know that you're new. You have not been around for too long. But how do you plan on figuring out what is next in terms of knife designs in particular? Like, at some point you'll go back to the drawing board for that next model year or however that works. What is the thing that inspires you for the new designs and for what keeps the designs rolling?
One thing I think we really do is we really, really listen to our customers. We want to hear what they like, you know. Did you show these things yet?
Not yet.
I didn't know if during a water break they showed these. But this is another collaboration we did with Fox. This is Fox's baby core, but we did it in different colors. And this was actually an influencer named Miss Panda Pirate who just photoshopped the baby core and said, I wish you'd do it in this pinkish purple color. And we happened to see it posted. And I told Gabriella, because he has it in the browns and the blacks and everything, I'm like, we want to do that for Brighton. I'll give you some colors I want you to do, and we'll do it for Brighton. And so that's how these came about. And like I said, with the Karambits, that wasn't ever our idea. That was people reaching out to us and telling us we want something for self-defense. And so,
And even the not so heavy metal, we went to our local mall down in Salt Lake City, when we were starting, and we did a lot of validation. We walked around. We're lucky we didn't get kicked out. We didn't have actual knives with us. We had pictures of knives. And we showed them different designs. We asked people what it was they were looking for, what they wanted, how, you know, what they would use. Would you like this? Yeah. And so, a lot of them loved the designs. But then there were some that they wanted something a little bit more simple. Yet still classy. So that's why we came up with the not so heavy metal knife. And they've got like the fun different coordinating hardware with each of them. And, you know, we really want to listen to people out there that are using knives and kind of see what it is that they're looking for, what they feel like is missing. And so, you know, we have our ideas as well, and we'll continue to develop those. But if other people have ideas of things that they're thinking of, we get people email into us, and some will probably take to, you know, and make it happen. And some are just good ideas that, you know, hopefully someday somebody else will make happen. But we love listening to the customers. And so I think that's also probably one of our strengths, I would say, is that's big for us, because we know as consumers, we like to be listened to, and we, you know, have things that we like. And so we're trying to do that for our customers.
Speaking as a collector, that sounds, that's music to my ears. And I know that that's music to the knife community's ears, if I can say that, because that's what people value most. You know, if you're buying a custom knife, you value that relationship that you develop with the custom knife maker. If you are I want to put it this way, a super fan of a company, you want to know that the company is listening to what you want. And that's a relationship that you build with that company. You can't have that personal thing that you might have with the custom maker, but you do have, companies that have ears and want to sell knives. And when they listen and they're nimble enough to make changes, and it's not like, wait for 10 years for us to get rid of all of this 8CR13 MOV and then we'll get to your thoughts. I think that people really, you know, like and respect that, because then you're giving them what they want, and you're also showing them what you can do when you're putting stuff out that's 100% of your own inspiration.
we really do try. We try really hard to make all of our people that support us happy. Even to the point, somebody emailed, we went with no pocket clip on the inspirational line and pocket clips on the not so heavy metal, give a variety for what women would like. But we had someone email us and they loved our inspirational line so much, but they wanted a pocket clip. And I had a sample in my office when we were deciding which way to go. And I said, okay, just between you and I, send me your address. I'll get you one, you know. And I mean, you and I only
we might not have any more of those.
Hey, Diane.
We really, really want people to love our company. Think that we care about them and the, you know, I've done a lot of knives for a lot of companies, but there is nothing that I put my heart into the way Brighton is. It's very personal and means a lot to me, and we want everybody that buys anything from us to love it.
So you're out in Utah, and to me, I have it's probably a fantasy version of what Utah is. I know I've been out there, but it's been 40 years since I've been to Utah, and I just remember it being beautiful. And I follow a couple of people on YouTube who have hunting channels, and I don't hunt, but I just like to walk out there virtually, you know. And it seems like a different environment. I live outside of Washington, D.C. And before this, I lived in New York City. Very unpermissible kind of environments for this kind of thing. Less so, you know, D.C. is a little more relaxed, or at least Virginia, where I am, is a little more relaxed. But is there more of a knife culture in Utah, would you say? Is it more common?
Definitely.
Yeah?
Definitely. I mean, you know, outdoor retailers have been in Salt Lake for years, and then it moved for a short time, but it's coming back. Blade Show West was in Salt Lake this year. Well, we have a very upscale mall right across the street from the Salt Palace, which has a Marriott hook to it. And we go in there during the shows and have knives all over the table, showing them to people and talking about them. And the waiters and stuff will walk by and go, oh, that is so cool. It's just it's a really knife friendly atmosphere in Utah. It's a very, Utah's very, very outdoorsy. Right. I mean, we have so many national parks. We have so many ski resorts. We have so many biking trails and everything. It's just a very, very outdoorsy state, and knives go along with that.
I'm sure most kids won't be able to do this, but my kids have the keychains hooked to their backpacks. I wouldn't suggest that for a lot of schools, but our kids are very able to do that.
I was going to say, is this the backpack that they take to school with them?
Oh, the teachers all know. Oh, yeah. Sally, you got a new one. My girl that takes a new one all the time to show off.
You're a 6-year-old, you say?
15.
15. Oh, okay. I was going to say, I like the cut of your jib. I do remember someone recently, it was probably about 3 years ago in our area, there was a hubbub about like too sharp of a plastic knife at school, something like that. And I was just like, all right, things have gotten a little ridiculous here. It's also a good knife state, Utah. There are, and now I'm blanking, but I know that I've spoken with a number of knife makers out in Utah. So we think of how do I put this? Well, first of all, what is it like, Diane, for a woman working in the knife industry, which at least as far as I can tell, has probably been male dominated for a long time.
It definitely was. You know, there are a few women. Goldie Russell, I don't know if you're familiar with A.G. Russell.
Yes.
She's kind of a icon in the knife industry, but there wasn't really a lot. But I have to tell you, everybody was so kind and so good when I started in this industry. I think there was, for one thing, I had no ego. I was willing to admit everything I didn't know when I first started in this. And so everybody, you know, I had a lot of really good mentors. Let's just say that, both in manufacturers and just other important people in the industry, from distributors and dealers and everything. So I found the knife industry super, super welcoming and just a fun industry. They'd never really been to the blade shows much before. And everybody's just like, it is such a fun crowd of people. It just really is. It's just so relaxed and fun. And they're giving awards and everybody's cheering for each other and teasing each other. And it's just, it's a fun, fun industry.
Yeah. I mean, I'm actually not surprised that you say that. And I have to be honest, you know, I'm sure there aren't too many industries where that would be the answer. And I'm not saying that in any sort of, you know, shaming way at all. My wife is quite the hotshot in her industry. And she's had a bit of a struggle getting there because there's a lot of male ego in the way because of it's a very, you know, security type thing. So it's great to hear. And I am not surprised because everyone I've talked to a person says that the knife community, we call it a knife community. And I'm very hesitant to like, I was very hesitant to ever use the term, online friend because I'm like, I've never shaken his hand, but that has changed over time, you know, and, you know, so, where am I going with this? I'm sorry. I just got, a little excited there, but
no, we have a lot of friends that we've never met, you know, whether they're customers that we kind of get in an email chain with or people like you and just people that have been so supportive of us that it just makes us so happy and it feels like a big community family.
Our first blade show being part of the company, I went with my mom years ago that we went to Texas and my mom and Kimmy are, you know, giving hugs to people and, how is your family? How is this? And I thought, oh man, it's going to take us years to feel that way. And then in Atlanta, we go and I see my friends and I'm happy to see them. And then Salt Lake, I have this bigger group of friends and I'm like, I didn't realize how fast I would feel like I was a part of this knife community that you have such a good friendship with in less than a year's time that people are so helpful, so kind, so wonderful, just fun. Fun to be part of.
I've sort of noticed from a group of and I don't even know, it's not a group, it's just a loose collection of people that I've met who are just passionate reviewers and collectors at YouTubers. They take all comers. It's like the knife community takes all comers. And it's a place, it seems to be a hobby that collects people who are, who have an overabundance of passion and they have to, you know, kind of change their ways maybe and start collecting knives or just add, you know, to the energy they have and draw that in. And what I think people get the most out of it, we love the knives, definitely love the knives, but it's been this people thing. That's been bubbling up, which is a big surprise to me.
Well, you know, we used to talk about it a lot because people are passionate about country of origin or so many aspects of a knife, and yet other products they never even think about it.
iPhone.
I was not only the knife product manager, but I was the flashlight product manager. Also, I did lights. I never had anybody ask me where a flashlight was made. You know. How many lumens does it have? Yes. Where it was made. And so we discussed, what is this thing about knives that people are so passionate? And we kind of thought that knives are kind of heirlooms. You know, I have knives that were my dad's, who had knives that were his grandpa's, you know, you don't pass down shirts. You don't pass down, you know, so many items that you use every day. Once that person's gone, they're going to Goodwill or, you know, but knives, people keep them and they pass them down. And I think that's got to be part of it. But I still don't completely understand why people are so passionate about this particular tool.
Yeah. Yeah. Knives, pens, watches, things that are, it seems like pen guys, watch guys, knife gals are all adjacent.
Pen guy and a knife guy. Pen guy and knife guy, they go together.
Yeah, they do. They do. And I like watches too. I just can't let that get away with me. But, but if you buy them, you know, and there's that grim realization, oh, this will outlast me without a doubt, unless I drop it in a smelter. You know, this will outlast me without a doubt. And there's something reassuring about that. And there's something, you know, life affirming about that. I know I'm getting deep, but, I mean that, like, you have it in your hand and you know that this is gonna, hopefully my daughter gets this one and hopefully she doesn't sell this one and that one. And I got to make my list of who to, you know, all this kind of stuff. But it's that heirloom thing that you touch on. I think you're right about that.
I think so. And it's funny. My dad collected mice and he passed away before I ever did this job, which I'm pretty sure he's orchestrated all of this from heaven. But, he liked buck knives. You know, he wasn't into collecting high-end customs or anything, but when Buck Knives did some knives for me once, and I was at a meeting with Chuck Buck, and I told him, my dad would have thought I was meeting with such a celebrity, you know, and Chuck laughed and everything, but he would have. He would have thought that was so cool that I was in a meeting with Chuck Buck, you know. So yes. It's just a super fun industry, and it means a lot to a lot of people.
Yeah, that's my kind of celebrity, Chuck Buck. Yeah.
Chuck Buck.
That's cool that you got to meet him and work with him. So I have a thought, and that is and it comes from the little karambit my wife has. Someday, a neck knife. What do you think of neck knives? Do you think that's too on the nose, more too much like jewelry?
No, I think that'd be really cool. I actually have a custom neck knife that, a custom knife maker made me. And I love it. And I wear it, use it sometimes if I'm out and about, you know, in the outdoors. But, I've done neck knives. I've done neck knives that are actual jewelry. But I think you're talking more of a neck knife that you'd actually use, right?
Yes.
Okay. I think it's a great idea. I've done several, under different brands from Brighton, but I like that idea.
I'm a sucker for neck knives. I know not everyone is, but I think I think in a woman's wardrobe or on a woman's body, she might be more used to having things around her neck. A lot of guys just don't like things on their neck.
No, you're right. And if you're jogging or something and you have like spandex clothes or something, you know, you don't have a place for a knife, but a neck knife you could put around your neck. That's a good idea. Good idea.
Oh, why, thank you.
We'll give you credit in the next time. Like
well, okay, so as Brighton Blades kind of comes up to, you've already come up to speed, but as you start to forge your way forward, 10 years hence, what would you like the company to look like?
That's something that we were actually talking about even when we were setting up here, that where we want to go, that we have this great vision that it's going to be great, but we're still figuring out exactly how that looks like in our lives and how it looks like for the company. That we want to keep it happy for our family, but we would like it to expand to be able to reach more women. So I don't know that we have a great answer for that yet.
I think right now we've been moving so fast that
we haven't
been able to really.
It was last October we started shipping, right?
Yeah.
We started shipping last October. So
okay.
This is our anniversary, our 1 year anniversary. And we haven't even hardly taken a second to. God.
No, we've gone to all the shows. We've got four knife lines out. But
1 year old, and I'm already asking what you want to do with your life.
I know.
That's a dad for you. Well, I love what you're doing, and I think it is very different. My wife always bristled at the pink knives. I got her one pink knife. I have two pink knives, and I love them both. They both have black blades, and one of them is called Pinky Tuscadero. You probably know who that is.
Yeah.
Because of her dress. So it's funny. I'm the one in the family that likes the pink knives. So I like the direction you've taken this company, and that it's not just that simple answer of just change the color and, you know, here you go. It's deeper than that, and I really appreciate it.
Thank you. Thanks so much. It means a lot to us.
Oh, great. Well, thank you so much for coming on the Knife Junkie podcast. And for those of you who are patrons, we're going to continue this conversation for a few more minutes, so come check it out. Otherwise, Christy, Diane, and Katie, thank you so much for coming on the Knife Junkie podcast. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you so much.
Do you like the sound of the alphanumeric combinations M390, 204P, and 20CV, but bristle at 8CR13MOV and AUS-A? You are a knife junkie. Probably worse.
This, I wrote down, knife, the best gift anyone could get. That was the words of Diane's father, so the Christy and Katie's grandfather. And I think that that is probably the best thing I've ever, and most accurate statement I've ever heard, because it is true. It is the best gift to get. And I always tell people to get me knives, and they say, I wouldn't know what to get you. And I say, I don't care. You can get me anything. So anyway, I like that quote there. But even more than that, Brighton Blades, very happy to have them on and very excited to see where the company goes. And I like where the company is right now, especially that not so heavy metal. They kept throwing it up there for me to look at and drool over. So I might have to go get one of those, and one for each member of the family. And just because it's Brighton Blades doesn't mean someone named Bob can't own one. All right. Working his magic behind the switcher is Jim, and I thank him so much. He does so much for us here. So I want to thank you, Jim, and the rest of you for listening. So until next time, please don't take dull for an answer.
Thanks for listening to the Knife Junkie Podcast. If you enjoyed the show, please rate and review at reviewthepodcast.com. For show notes for today's episode, additional resources, and to listen to past episodes, visit our website, theknifejunkie.com. You can also watch our latest videos on YouTube at theknifejunkie.com/YouTube. Check out some great knife photos on theknifejunkie.com/Instagram, and join our Facebook group at theknifejunkie.com/Facebook. And if you have a question or comment, email them to bob@theknifejunkie.com or call our 24/7 listener line at 724-466-4487, and you may hear your comment or question answered on an upcoming episode of the Knife Junkie Podcast.